Good morning. How are you doing today? What a fantastic group of songs that was. I hope you got into it as much as I did. Thank you, Father, for your word, for your presence and your power in each and every life. I thank you, Lord, that this is the day that some have been waiting for. Some have been seeking you. Some have been asking for your touch upon their lives. I thank you that this will be the day of your touch upon every life, so that each and every life may not only feel your presence, but know that you are with them, walking with them. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will talk with them in these days. In Jesus' name, bless this message to our hearts. Let us take it in, and let it be spiritual manna to us. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and no other place, as I like to say. So the title of today's message is Pressing On. The word pressing is indicative of what we have to do as Christians. God doesn't just carry us through the whole process of everything he wants us to go through. We have to position ourselves in a place where we are pressing. We're pushing into his kingdom. We're pushing on the heavenly door, where we have a desire to come before him, to know him, to walk with him, to talk with him, because he's the only one that knows the way in which you should go, and he knows how to get you there if you will depend upon him. Amen. Philippians 3. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. The writing of Paul the Apostle, in which he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." And I hope that applies to all of us as well. We don't know everything that God wants us to know. We have not apprehended the fullness of all that he has for us, but he's willing to give us those things when it's the right time. So Paul goes on to say, "One thing I do," I'm going to do this, or are we going to do this? "Forgetting those things which are behind." Well, now's the time to do that. Forgetting those things which are behind you, what are you supposed to do then? Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And the apostle says, I am going to press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This scripture has always meant a lot to me because it is so instructive. It tells us that we have to let go of the things that have hindered us. Forget the past trouble. Forget the tribulation. Forget the problems back there. If you don't forget them, they're going to hold on to you and keep you from going forward. So you have to make a concentrated effort to forget. What happened to you yesterday? What happened to you last week? What happened a while back when somebody spoke against you? Let it go. Let it go. Failures, let them go. A lack of understanding, let it go. Let the tribulation of your life go. Let it go where? Let it go to God. Forgetting those things which are behind you, now you are going to turn and you're going to reach where? Not backwards, not back here. You're going to reach forward to those things which are ahead, pressing toward the goal of the prize that God has for you. So today is what? Today is the first day of the last full week of June. This is where you say, wow, heard it once. Isn't that something? The year is already half over. How did that happen? I don't know. I don't know how it happened. So what I'm going to do for a moment is I'm going to go back to January 6th and portion of that message, which reads, if we desire to allow God to lead and guide us into and through 2019, then his light upon us will increase and enable us to see into the spirit world. Vision will increase this year if we believe God's word and stay connected to and expect to see. So that's what God had for you at the first of the year. So here we are halfway. You have to check yourself. Now, have I done this? Have I allowed God to increase my vision? Am I seeing ahead of me? Am I seeing into the spirit realm? Am I seeing his purpose for me? You cannot, I say this again, you cannot dwell upon and look at the problems. The problem's going to be there. You can look far, everybody in this room can look far enough to find a problem. My advice is don't. Look ahead. Look ahead. Look ahead to God. So the spiritual positioning that we desire will be necessary if vision is to come to us. So we have to move into the realm of the Spirit and expect to see. You must believe that what God said will become true in your life. My vision, my spiritual vision, will increase. Why? Because it's time. Because God said this is the year of it. This is the year and the time that you can see more than you've seen before, hear more than you've heard before, understand more than you've heard before. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian. We never fully grow into what God has for us until we're taken into His presence. So what are we as Christians? Always learning. Always learning how to deal with problems, because you will have some, or many for some. Learn how to deal with them. What's the best way to deal with them? With God. Let God into your problems. Let God solve your problems. Let God nurture you and grow you and take care of your problems for you. But you know what you have to do to let Him do that? You have to let Him have them. You have to say, Lord, this is a problem in my life. I'm giving it to You. I'm believing that You will cause the right outcome. You know, what happens if the next 5 minutes you're back in it and you're worried about it and you're terribly troubled about it and you're holding on to it? Then it's yours. You didn't really let go of it. That's something as Christians we have to learn to do. It's an on-purpose thing because it's not normal to our humanity. Our humanity wants to stew and trouble over everything that we can. People worry, 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 worry. That's why we have psychiatrists today, is they have to go and tell them their problems and do these things. Better to tell God and get over it and let go of it and get on with what God has for you. Because if you can get away from the problem by giving it to Him, then He can take you into the next phase of your life, into the goodness of that phase. So you must forget the past failures, forgetting those things which are behind. When it's behind. Take place. Not next week. It took place a minute ago. Everything that's behind you is behind you. Amen? So then and only then can you reach forward to what God wants you to see. Then and only then can you reach forward to the things that are ahead. So Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. What does that mean? Keep it clean. Keep it pure. For out of it spring the issues of life. So whatever you keep and hold on to is going to cause the issues of your life to manifest within. So if you're in God and God is in you and that's your focus, whatever God has for you is going to manifest in your life. That's one of the reasons that people don't think that they have any control in the kingdom of God. But you do. You have control over who you are. You have control over what you do. You have control over what you believe. You have control over whether you allow God to work with you or not. I know somebody didn't want to hear that. They think it's all up to God. It's up to you with God. That's how it is. So keep yourself free by looking ahead. Keep yourself open by looking to God. Look to God for healing and strength. Let God perfect you. And He will if you keep yourself in faith. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. This is an awesome scripture because it tells you what's going to happen if you don't have faith in God. Without faith, it says, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Can't be done without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and I think we all do that, but then you have to go on to the next part. You have to also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God wants to reward you, but what do you have to do to receive the reward? What do you have to do to get out of the trouble that you're in? Not think about the trouble, not dwell upon the trouble. Just deal with it for a minute and say, this trouble is of the devil. I bind the devil and I forbid him to trouble me in my life anymore. And I turn my eyes back on God, who will cause Satan to flee before me in Jesus' name. Let God do his work. Oh, wait. Understanding. God is bigger and more powerful than the devil is. And the devil is bigger and more powerful than you are. But What you can do in your position of faith with God will overcome the works of the enemy. If you believe that the Lord is greater than Satan and God loves you more than he loves Satan, oh, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? Well, then let God become active in your case. Present your case to God. God, this is what's happened. It's unfair towards me. The devil is using this to beat me up. The devil is using this to continue to keep me in problem. The devil is using this to bring me into sickness. But today is the day that I get out of it because I believe that you want me out of it. How many of you believe that God wants you out of all the devil's trouble? So if you believe that, why would you stay in it? There's just a few reasons. Number one, you believe that you're worthy of it. Or number two, you believe you did something that allowed it. Well, even if that is the truth, you can change the direction of things that are going by simply coming before God, activating his position and your position in him, bind the devil. Listen, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We all are Christians learning the whole of our lives. We are all Christians that make mistakes the whole of our lives. So does God give up on you because you made a mistake? No. He knew that from the beginning. He's not worried about you. If God was worried about you, you would never be able to overcome anything. If God was worried about you, you would always be in failure. If God was worried about you, then his power would not be extended towards you, and that power would not flow through you, and that power would not bind the devil. But he is not worried about you, and neither should you be worried about you. You should believe that God is for you and that all things are going to work together for your good. Because the Bible says that. Everything is going to work together for your good. For your what? Good. Not bad. For your good. Everything is going to work together for a good outcome. Why? Because God is for you. Why? Because God is with you. So don't allow doubt and unbelief to control you. You're a Christian. You ought not to allow those things to be a part of who you are. And this is what Jesus said. Only believe. Only believe in your Father who is for you. Only believe in me. I will help you. Only believe in the Holy Spirit. He will direct you. Come on. Believe that God is for you. Why am I saying that? Because it happens oftentimes that people don't believe that God loves them. People don't believe that God cares about them. They believe they've done something too wrong, too awful, too bad somewhere along the line that has set God off against them. Because God isn't like that, but we are. Amen. Okay, so you all have periods of time when doubt and unbelief controlled you. All of us have had that. But you can't stay there. You have to move out of that. You need to wake up to that. You have to pick yourself up, get out of the past, go forward, walk on in faith, knowing that God is for you, will deliver you, will help you, will bring you out into better circumstances. That's what the whole Bible tells us. And then the question is, why don't we believe it? So what I want you to do today is get up, press on, believe God, walk in faith, and God will forgive you and all of your cares and all your troubles, and everything is going to work out for your good. Yes, I'm saying that. God is saying that. But you have to say that to yourself and believe it for it to begin to work in your life. Amen? That's how it is. We either believe God is for us or not. We believe that God forgives us or not. We believe that God wants us to excel. He wants us to come into a place of knowing that he is one with us. He wants us to know that he is providing for us. He's healing us. He is walking with us. He's talking with us. Amen and amen. So get up and press on. So I was sitting at my desk this morning doing this message, and I thought, you know, what? There's got to be a sign of God somewhere. What is it that you're doing, Lord? It didn't take me very long to look out the window, and the meadow is absolutely filled with water. The rivers are overflowing their banks, and that meadow that I usually look at is now all water. Well, I know what water means in the spirit. When I see a sign in the natural, then I can know. Because 1 John 5:8 says there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. It's on me. The Spirit represents what? Or the water represents the Spirit who is on me. But it also says water. What is that? It overflows me. It comes over me. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ on the earth and what he's up to, what he's doing. So if all of a sudden we have all of this water coming down, what that speaks to me is that the Holy Spirit is going to begin to move upon the hearts of God's people. It's time for the Holy Spirit to begin to be one with them. It's time for the Holy Spirit to speak to them, because you've been in a long season of drought spiritually. Yeah. Amen. True. It's true. We've been in a long drought. Well, we're here in little bits, pieces. But I don't know about you, but I would rather just have a flood of God's presence and an overbearing compassion of his word coming into my life. As he leads me, as he guides me, as he shows me the way. And I believe absolutely that he's going to bear witness in this season that his water, his spiritual water, his spiritual rain is going to overflow his people, because the drought is over and the life of the Spirit is beginning. And there are signs in the natural to confirm this. And that's what we have. So the trumpet of God says, the Lord says, have you forgotten that I love you? Ask us the question. Have you forgotten that I love you? Have you forgotten that I forgave you and I do forgive you when you ask? Have you forgotten? That's the question. So you have to answer it for yourself. If you have forgotten, then understand that God wants to forgive you. God will forgive you. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we have sin, we just confess to God, knowing that he knows anyway, he knows already. And you just have to know that he wants to hear it from your voice, that you're asking him to forgive you, and he will. He will. And then it's your water to live in, your water to get your little raft out and paddle in, your water to ride when God takes you into the places that he has for you in this season, and he will do so if you're willing to go with him. It's like, for a moment, think of this. You have a little raft. It's got a little bit of stuff in it from the past that represents the past sins. Throw that out. Put it in the water. Get in it. And go with God in this season. In Jesus' name, amen.